Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please do be seated. sorry, I've got a frog in my throat this morning. I remember in my young teens, treasures of Tutankhamun coming to the British Museum and actually going along there with my school to visit it. I can remember there was quite a lot of debating going on about whether we thought a tomb should be stripped of all of its treasures. But the great riches on show were magnificent and did show how much preparation for afterlife was given to this young man. I have read that the tomb went on to have contained 5,398 catalogued items. These grave goods, as they are called, is not just something for the esteemed, wealthy, ancient Egyptians. This is a practice seen across the world to some degree or another. Goods for the person to take forward for the afterlife. The afterlife being something we anticipate, hope for, in our culture, I might say, and we often avoid thinking about it too much, as it means the end of this earthly life that we know so well. In Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul writes that we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it, which is reflected in our funeral words and our service, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And we often hear those words that are quoted in verse 10, I think it was, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And Paul goes on to say, you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Paul is writing to the young Timothy, guiding him. But as with all of these letters, in fact, all of the Bible, we read these words today and we can take those words as written to ourselves. It seems no matter what we have in this life, or lack of in this life, it will be the way that we have lived our life, our attitude to others, that will help us as we go forward. In our gospel reading, Luke gives us a glimpse into the possibility of afterlife. And this parable only appears in Luke's gospel. And we are to be thoughtful that Luke is a great advocate for the poor, and often stresses the reversal of rich and poor in the kingdom of God. It is in Luke's gospel that we hear of Mary, the poor young girl, being called for the biggest act of motherhood ever. And we have the Beatitudes, those verses of blessed be those who weep, go hungry, mourn now, for they will be blessed. And it ends up, woe to those who have much here on earth. So it is hardly surprising we have this strong image of the role reversal of afterlife, with the rich man brought low and the poor beggar man being lifted high. Aside from the stark imagery, even here Luke reminds us that God's compassion continues after our death. God remains in contact with us and continues to call us to him. Like the good shepherd, he will reach and search for us, finding us and bringing us back to him into his care, continuing that dialogue with us to find our true path back. Jesus points out clearly in this parable that God has sent many people to this world as messengers to save us. And Jesus points to himself, the Saviour who will rise and return from the dead and who will listen to him. And still people will not believe. But all is not too late, for God does love us all eternally. As we heard in our collect today, that short prayer that I said earlier in our service, give to your people knowledge of your truth, that we may enjoy eternal life. We pray, give to your people, God, knowledge of your truth, that we may enjoy eternal life. That is God's desire for us, abundant life here on earth and eternally. During this season of harvest, we are often reminded that the world has enough resources for all, that we do not have any need for hunger or loneliness or for folks to be without anything in any way. There's enough of it here on earth. There is enough on the planet to go around. I'm rather pleased with that as I begin to look forward. Well, I don't know about looking forward, but as I begin to think about the years ahead when I shall retire and not be working for my own keep. And I shall remind my children of that. Having four of them, I'm hoping that there'll be one of them who will take pity on me and share their great wealth that they have. As Christians, we are called to look out for each other, to share what we have. And that's not just money, although everyone seems to want a bit of that, but our goodness in kind, in our gifts and our skills. Just last Sunday, we saw that here in the church, the great sharing of gifts of music. And wasn't that wonderful, though? The music here last Sunday was tremendous, and the wonderful hospitality of refreshments. The very kind donation that we've had recently of the organ from Ter Western. I mean, how wonderful that was. And that organ was donated to Ter Western by somebody very generously. This sharing of wealth. All the work in our churchyard. The promise of help I've heard now of getting down on our massive cobwebs that we've had and of clearing up the church. I mean, these are wonderful things, sharing of all of our gifts and skills. And across the benefits in all of our churches, there are activities for fundraising, not just for our churches, but for other very needy charities. And how often I hear of how generous people are with their time, popping around to neighbours, to those they know are lonely, and offering a friendly chat. And come on, what greater gift can you give to that than give somebody your time and generosity, your company? As I mentioned earlier, we're not a culture that dwells too much on the afterlife until we need to think about it when we lose a loved one or our own poor health makes us think about it. But actually, in this season of autumn, it reminds us that new life is inevitable. As our leaves and seeds drop down into the earth, we know that new life will follow. That is a certainty. And we are reminded in our readings to ensure we live our lives here fully. And that includes helping those around us as much as we can. Indeed, allowing others to help us when we are in need too, which is not always quite so simple as that might seem. And that sentiment was met in that beautiful song we sung just now. It had the words, "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too." As Paul wrote in that long reading that we had, but a beautiful reading, "Be rich in good works, generous and ready to share." The thing is, we do not have to store up things for the afterlife. God has that in hand, already for us. He will provide for all our needs in the eternal life. We just need to have faith and trust in him. Amen.